And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today is May 3rd. 123rd day of the year. 242 days remain until this year's over with. It's moving quickly, folks. Well, in 752 A.D., Mayan King Bird Jaguar IV of Yaxchilan in modern-day Chiapas, Mexico, takes the throne. 1481, the largest of three earthquakes strikes the island of Rhodes and causes an estimated 30,000 casualties. 1491, Congo monarch Nakuwu Nzinga is baptized by Portuguese missionaries, adopting the baptismal name of Chihuahua I. There's nothing that works so well that you can't screw it up, and that's what the Portuguese did. 1616, Treaty of Loudun ends the French Civil War. 1715, a total solar eclipse is visible across northern Europe and northern Asia. It's predicted by Edmund Halley to within 4 minutes accuracy. He must have had a Timex. 1791, the Constitution of May 3rd, that's the first modern constitution in Europe, proclaimed by Sejm of Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. 1802, Washington, D.C. is incorporated as a city after Congress abolishes the Board of Commissioners, the district's founding government. The city of Washington is given a mayor-council form of government. Now it wants to be its own state. So, no matter how big a screw-up the doing away with the Board of Commissioners was, making it a state is going to be even a bigger screw-up. 1808, Finnish War. Sweden loses the fortress of Svaborg to Russia. Also in 1808, the Peninsula War. The Madrid rebels who rose up on May 2nd are executed near Principio Hill. 1815, Neapolitan War. Joachim Murat, King of Naples, is defeated by the Austrians at the Battle of Tolentino. The decisive engagement in that war. 1830, the Canterbury and Whitstable Railways opened. It's the first steam-hauled passenger railway to issue season tickets and included a tunnel. 1837, the University of Athens is founded in Athens, Greece. 1848, the boar-crested Anglo-Saxon Bentley Grange helmet is discovered in a barrow on the Bentley Grange and farm near in Derbyshire. The 1849, the May Uprising in Dresden begins. Last of the German revolutions of 1848-1849. 1855, American adventurer William Walker departs from San Francisco with about 60 men to conquer Nicaragua. 1901, the Great Fire of 1901 begins in Jacksonville, Florida. 1913, Raja Harishchandra, the first full-length Indian feature film, is released, marking the beginning of the Indian film industry. 1920, a Bolshevik coup fails in the Democratic Republic of Georgia. 1921, Ireland's petitioned under British law by the Government of Ireland Act of 1920, creating Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. 1921, West Virginia becomes the first state to legislate a broad sales tax, but doesn't implement it until a number of years later due to enforcement issues. 1928, the Jinan incident begins with the deaths of 12 Japanese civilians by Chinese forces in Jinan, China. This leads to Japanese retaliation and death of over 2,000 Chinese civilians over the next few days. 1939, the All India Forward Bloc is formed by Netaji Subhas Chandra Bose. 1942, World War II. Japanese naval forces invade Tulagi Island and the Solomon Islands during the first part of Operation Mo that results in the Battle of the Coral Sea between Japanese forces and forces from the U.S. and Australia. 1945, World War II, sinking of the prison ship Cap Arcona, Tilbeck, and the Deutschland by the Royal Air Force in Lubbock Bay. 1947, new post-war Japanese constitution goes into effect, where the monarch was no longer considered a god. 1948, U.S. Supreme Court rules in Shelby versus Kramer that covenants prohibiting the sale of real estate to blacks and other minorities are legally unenforceable. But if you check where President Biden lives, that is included in his deed, that blacks, Hispanics, and Jews cannot buy property in the area where his house is. He's, of course, special. 1951, London's Royal Festival Hall opens with the Festival of Britain. 1951, the United States Senate Committee on Armed Forces and the United States Senate Committee on Foreign Relations begin their closed-door hearings on the relief of Douglas MacArthur by U.S. President Harry Truman. 1952, Lieutenant Colonels Joseph Fletcher and William Benedict of the United States land a plane at the North Pole. 1952, the Kentucky Derby is televised nationally for the first time on CBS Network. 1957, Walter O'Malley, the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers, agrees to move the team from Brooklyn to Los Angeles. 1963, the police force in Birmingham, Alabama switches tactics and responds with violent force to stop the Birmingham campaign protesters. Images of their violent suppression are transmitted worldwide, bringing newfound attention to the civil rights movement. There's nothing so bad that it can't be made worse by television coverage. 1971, Erich Honecker becomes the first secretary of the Socialist Unity Party of Germany, remains in power till 1989. 1978, the first unsolicited bulk commercial email, later became known as spam, is sent by Digital Equipment, a corporation marketing representative to every ARPANET address on the west coast of the U.S. 1979, Margaret Thatcher wins the United Kingdom general election. Next day, she becomes the first female British prime minister. 1986, 21 people are killed and 41 are injured after a bomb explodes on an Sri Lanka Flight 512 at Colombo Airport in Sri Lanka. 1987, a crash by Bobby Allison at the Talladega Speedway in Alabama, fencing at the start-finish line, would lead NASCAR to develop the restrictor plate for the following season, both at Daytona International Speedway and at Talladega. 1999, the southwestern portion of Oklahoma City is devastated by an F5 tornado. Kills 45, injures 665, and causes $1 billion in damage. Tornado is one of 66 in the 1999 Oklahoma tornado outbreak. This tornado also produces the highest wind speed ever recorded. It was measured at 301 miles per hour. And they said there was a 20 mile per hour leeway on either side of that number. 1999, infiltration of Pakistani soldiers on the Indian side results in the Kargil War. 2000, the sport of geocaching begins with the first cache placed in the coordinates form of GPS posted on Usenet. 2001, the United States loses its seat on the UN Human Rights Commission for the first time since the commission was formed in 1947. Yes, they had to give it to the far left. 2007, three-year-old British girl, Madeline McCann, disappears in Praia da Luz, Portugal, starting the most heavily reported missing person case in modern history. 2015, two gunmen launched an attempted attack on an anti-Islam event in Garland, Texas, which was held in response to the Charlie Hebdo shooting. Now, the Madeline McCann, for those that are interested, she was 4 years old, disappeared on the evening of May 3rd, 2000, from her bed in a holiday apartment. Her whereabouts remain unknown to this day, and German prosecutors in 2020 have stated they assume she is dead. And in 2016, 88,000 people are evacuated from their homes at Fort McMurray, Alberta, Canada, as a wildfire rips through the community, destroys about 2,400 homes and buildings. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances, Christian Feast Day, Abhai in the Syriac Orthodox Church, Antonian Alexander, Juvenal of Narni, Mora in the Coptic Church, Philip and James the Lesser, Pope Alexander I, Sarah the Martyr in the Coptic Church, Most Holy Virgin Mary, Queen of Poland, Theodosius of Kiev, Eastern Orthodox Church, Constitution Memorial Day in Japan, Also, it's Constitution Day in Poland. Findings of the Holy Cross related observances. Fiesta de las Cruces in Spain and Hispanic America. Rodmas, or Feast of the Finding of the Holy Cross. That's a Gallican rite of the Catholic Church. Internationally, it's Sunday, and it's World Press Freedom Day. I do want to point out that Thursday, the 6th of May, is Nurses Day. And if you want to do something nice for the people who saved your life by giving you the vaccinations, you need to do something for them. Okay, let's see what else we got. The solar eclipse seen at the Ugarit by Mesopotamian astronomers. On the day of the new moon, the month of Hayar, the sun was put to shame and went down in the daytime with Mars in attendance. 1294, John II becomes Duke of Brabant and Limburg. 1342, Count Hartmann II becomes ruler of Vaduz, that's Liechtenstein. 1382, the Battle of Beverhoesveld near Bruges in modern-day Belgium. The army of Ghent beats a drunken Bruges militia. 1512, Pope Julius II opens the Fifth Council of Lateran at St. John Lateran Basilica in Rome. 1558, Ferdinand I officially appointed Holy Roman Emperor after his brother Charles abdicated in 1556. 1621, Francis Bacon is accused of bribery. 1624, the Spanish Silver Fleet sails to Panama. 1629, French Huguenot leader Duke de Rohan signs an accord with Spain. 1640, the English Upper House accepts an act of attainder. 1654, the bridge at Raleigh, Massachusetts begin charging tolls for animals. We must make money. 1660, Sweden, Poland, Brandenburg, Austria sign the Peace of Oliva. 1661, Johannes Hevelius observes the third transit of Mercury ever to be seen. 1662, the Royal Charter is granted to Connecticut. 1678, the French conquering the fleet at Curacao, 1200 die. 1747, William IV, appointed Viceroy of Holland and Utrecht. 1765, the first North American Medical College opens in Philadelphia. 1791, Constitution of May 3rd, we talked about that. 1808, the day is depicted by Spanish painter Goya in his 3rd of May painted 1814. 1810, English poet Lord Byron swims the Hellespont, modern day Dardanelles. 1822, Society for the Propagation of the Faith is founded in Lyon, France. 1841, New Zealand proclaimed a colony independent of New South Wales. 1845, first African-American lawyer Macon Allen admitted to the bar in Massachusetts. 1845, in Canton, China, a fire killed 1,600 people in a popular theater. 1846, the Mexican army begins the siege of Fort Texas near Brownsville during the Mexican-American War. 1849, the May Uprising in Dresden begins. It's the last of the German revolutions of 1848. 1851, the sixth major fire in San Francisco destroys 1,500 to 2,000 buildings. 1855, Antwerp and Rotterdam Railway opens. 1860, Charles XV of Sweden, Norway is crowned King of Sweden. 1861, General Renfield Scott presents his Anaconda Plan for the North against the South, the American Civil War. He was the supreme military commander. 1861, Lincoln asked for 42,000 Army volunteers, another 18,000 seamen. 1863, the Battle of Salem Church in Virginia. 1863, the Second Battle of Fredericksburg occurs in Virginia, part of the Chancellorsville Campaign of the American Civil War. 1864 was the third day in battle at Alexandria, Louisiana. 1867, the Hudson Bay Company gives up all claims to Vancouver Island. 1898, Camp Merriman forms at Presidio in San Francisco. That fire in Jacksonville, Florida that I mentioned, it took place in 1901, destroyed 1,700 buildings. 1906, the British-controlled Egypt takes the Sinai Peninsula away from Turkey. 1916, Irish nationalists Patrick Pearse, Tom MacDonald, and Thomas Clark executed by firing squad following their involvement in the Easter Rising. 1922, Mayor Hyland closes streets for the building of Yankee Stadium. 1923, the first nonstop North American transcontinental flight from New York to San Diego is completed on this date. 1926, Britain's Trade Union Congress calls for the country's first ever general strike. Begins at 1 minute to midnight in support of striking coal miners. It lasts for 9 days. Volunteers help defeat the general strike. The average individual wasn't in favor of this. 1926, U.S. Marines land in Nicaragua 9 months after they left. They stayed till 1933. 1929, Prussia bans anti-fascist. 1937, Margaret Mitchell wins the Pulitzer Prize for Gone with the Wind. 1938, the concentration camp at Flossenbürg goes into general use. 1938, the Vatican recognizes Franco, Spain. Francisco Franco was the Spanish dictator and general. 1941, on this date, a German air raid on Liverpool. 1942, Japanese troops attacked Tulagi, Gavutu, and Tanambogo in the Solomon Islands during World War II. 1942, German Luftwaffe again bombs Exeter, destroys the center of the town. 1942, Nazis execute 72 OD'ers in reprisal for Sachsenhausen in the Netherlands. 1943, the U.S. 1st Armored Division occupies Matur, Tunisia. 1944, on this date, meat rationing ended in the U.S. 1945, the 1st Polish Armored Division of the Polish Armed Forces in the West occupies Wilhelmshaven in Germany. 1945, Allies arrest German physicist Werner Heisenberg. 1945, the German ship Cap Arcona, which was contained prisoners, was sunk by the... Yeah, though. Thank you for choosing Marriott Hotels. We would... As I was saying, the German ship Cap Arcona, which contained prisoners, was sunk by the Royal Air Force in East Sea. 5,800 are killed, one of the largest maritime losses of life. 1946, International Military Tribunal in Tokyo begins. In 1947, Japan's post-war constitution goes into effect, granted universal suffrage, stripped Emperor Hirohito of all but symbolic power, and outlawed Japan's right to make war. Now, of course, I don't know how they can do that if, in fact, Japan is a sovereign country and has the right to make war if it wants to. But such is life. All right, we've been talking about the paranormal. And we've talked, of course, about, among other things, UFOs. Now, January 7th, 1948, Kentucky Air National Guard pilot Captain Thomas Mantell died when his P-51 crashed while chasing a UFO. Earlier today, reports had reached Godman Army Airfield at Fort Knox, Kentucky, about UFOs in the area. And one was observed by a sergeant in the base's control tower. They sent four P-51 airplanes to investigate. One was low on fuel and it turned back. Two others called off their pursuit due to low oxygen. Mantell continued to climb. He was determined to catch whatever it was. The theory is he blacked out from a lack of oxygen. His plane spiraled out of control and crashed. Of course, it killed him. Now, that incident was widely reported, as was a UFO encounter with a commercial plane that same summer. January 24, two Eastern Airlines pilots, Clarence Childs and John Whited, reported that a glowing object passed in front of their Douglas DC-3 before it went up into the clouds. One of the plane's passengers, Clarence McKelvey, corroborated the pilot's story, saying he'd seen a streak of light. After the fact, several astronomers concluded that the pilots likely saw a meteor. And they're so dumb, they didn't know the difference. Though the staff of Project Sign, which was established by the Air Force that year to investigate, concluded the object was likely of extraterrestrial origin. The third big event occurred in the evening of October 1st when Second Lieutenant George Gorman of the North Dakota Air National Guard spotted a UFO while flying over Fargo, North Dakota. Another nearby plane also spotted the object and reported it to air traffic control, so Gorman took it upon himself to investigate. The object moved faster than his P-51, which traveled at over 350 miles an hour and was capable of moving in ways Gorman judged impossible for traditional aircraft. According to him, it was about 6 to 8 inches in diameter, clear white, completely without fuzz on the edges. It was blinking on and off. He said, as I approached, the light suddenly became steady and pulled into a sharp left bank. He said, I thought it was making a pass at the tower. Gorman and the object almost collided several times in the air before the object shot into an ascent so steep that Gorman's plane stalled when he tried to follow it. He reported to the newspapers. If anybody else had reported such a thing, I'd have thought they were crazy. Well, these three stories got widespread popularity and helped fuel the perception that UFOs are regularly visiting the U.S. Beginning in the early 60s, things became more alarming as widespread reports of alleged alien abduction began to hit the news. Biggest story, of course, was the September 21st, 1961, when Betty Hill of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, called nearby Pease Air National Guard base to report encountering a UFO that had allegedly begun 2 days before. According to what she said, at about 10:30 p.m. on September 19th, Betty and her husband Barney noticed a fast-moving light in the sky as they were driving home from a vacation. They followed that light in her car for a few miles and realized they were pursuing an airship of some sort. The brightly lit craft began descending toward them, so Barney stopped the car and got out. When a hatch on the ship opened and humanoids began descending toward the car, Barney got back into the vehicle and tried to drive away. Well, according to the story, at that point, the Hills experienced a feeling of diminished consciousness When it subsided, they found they'd traveled 35 miles with virtually no memory of that drive. They got home later that evening, and they were plagued by odd sensations, inexplicable phenomena. Both their watches had stopped. When the Air Force dismissed the story, the Hills turned to the National Investigative Committee on Aerophenomena, or NICAP as it was known, which interviewed the couple twice. For about 18 months, the Hills didn't publicly discuss their alleged ordeal, but in March of 1965, began talking to friends and fellow church members about the event. In 1965, the Boston Traveler newspaper printed a front-page story about the Hills, and in 1966, author John G. Fuller published a book about Betty and Barney's encounter titled The Interrupted Journey. They were related to Kathleen Marden. He's written a number of books on UFOs. The Hills abduction story became the first widely publicized incident of aliens allegedly kidnapping humans. Turned into a made-for-TV movie in 1975, and the movie was notable because soon after, several reports of alien abduction were made that would become equally famous. First, there was Travis Walton's allegation he was kidnapped by extraterrestrials for 5 days in November of that year. 1976, there was the claim by four men in Allegash, Maine, that they were abducted by aliens while on a camping trip. With a sheer number of UFO sightings and reported abductions by extraterrestrials since the end of World War II, combined with the widespread belief that the federal government had been withholding information or even lying about the events, has led to the proliferation of private organizations dedicated to uncovering the truth about UFOs. These, of course, included the founding of the Mutual UFO Network in 1969, the Center for UFO Studies in 1973, which was established by J. Allen Hynek, who consulted on the military investigation into UFOs, codenamed Project Blue Book, the National UFO Reporting Center in 1974, Citizens Against UFO Secrecy in 1977, and the Fund for UFO Research in 1979, and finally the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence in 1990, among a number of others. These organizations investigate historical accounts of UFO sightings by collecting witness statements and other related evidence, and by pressuring the federal government to turn over classified documents related to its own investigation of UFO-related phenomena. Primary tool in accomplishing that last goal is the Freedom of Information Act, which requires the federal government to make available government records if requested. FOIA took effect in 1967 as proven invaluable in researching UFO sightings investigated by the federal government's various agencies. Though the broad exemptions in the law proved frustrating for these organizations and led to charges of federal government still hiding or withholding the truth about extraterrestrial visitors. Some of these investigations, though, have had a measure of success. Due to a growing public interest in the events at Roswell, New Mexico in 1947, prominent ufologists, including nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman, Charles Berlitz, William Moore, and others, dug into the events, able to demonstrate that the federal government had lied about the nature of the debris recovered, eventually revealing the existence of Operation Mogul. In 1994, the U.S. Air Force issued a 994-page report on the incident at Roswell with the goal of coming clean with the American people. However, for many ufologists, this was the beginning, not the end, of the cover-up. Alleged witnesses to the events at Roswell claimed the federal government recovered alien corpses from the wreck. A Roswell mortician named Glenn Dennis, who had a contract to provide mortuary services at Roswell Army Airfield, told ufologist Stanton Friedman and a number of others that somebody from the base called him in July 47 and asked a series of unusual questions about how to dispose of three small bodies. More alarmingly, a nurse who worked at the base and was a friend of Dennis told the mortician that the bodies in question were not human, but actually aliens recovered from the crash. Coming amid a period of intense anti-government suspicion, Dennis's claim was widely believed among ufologists even after, in 1997, the Air Force released a second report that claimed no bodies were recovered at Roswell. According to the Air Force, the likeliest explanation was that witnesses were misremembering the recovery of anthropomorphic dummies used during the 1950s in Operation High Dive that sought to test the effectiveness of high-altitude parachutes. Now, you're going to tell me that a mortician and a nurse can't tell the difference between a dummy and a body. I have a problem with that. More recently, the government has, of its own accord, released footage film from Navy planes of unidentified aerial phenomena that seem to defy the laws of physics. The videos came out in 2017 amid the news that the Department of Defense had an advanced aerospace threat identification program that investigated UFOs, but was allegedly shut down in 2012. According to Robert Bigelow, founder of Bigelow Aerospace, a subcontractor for the program, his company worked on storage facilities to house materials, including metal alloys recovered from unidentified aerial phenomena. In July of 2020, it was revealed that the program had not, in fact, been shut down. Now called the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force, its aim is to standardize collection reporting on UFOs in the hopes of finding unexplained aerial vehicles. Now, the Pentagon will not presently discuss the program, but Luis Elizondo, the former leader of the program, said that some findings made public. He said the program no longer has to hide in the shadows. It will soon have a new transparency. Everybody's real big on transparency. Oh, of course. Soon it won't have a choice. Tucked into the coronavirus relief bill signed in December 2020 was a stipulation that the U.S. intelligence agencies have to the summer of 2021 to reveal to Congress everything they know about UFOs. And this news, of course, was very exciting to ufologists, as this was the first time the government's undertaken the study of UFOs and the possibility of extraterrestrial visitation. You know, the government has long been investigating UFOs, but they always did it in secret. Concern about the possibility of extraterrestrial visitation led the U.S. Air Force to initiate Project Sign in early 1947. It actually began to fully operate in January of 1948 to investigate alleged UFO sightings. Project Sign was the brainchild of Army Air Force Major General and later Air Force Chief of Staff Nathan Twining. He sent a memo to his commander, Brigadier General George Shulgin, calling UFOs worthy of additional study and implying that the growing number of sightings might be something more than misidentified objects. Of course, lurking in the background was the fear that these UFOs might be advanced aircraft that represented a threat to national security. After investigating thousands of reports, Project Sign concluded that almost all UFO sightings could be explained rationally, such as hoaxes, misidentifications, or just general hysteria. But it didn't dismiss the possibility that extraterrestrials actually existed. In any event, Project Sign concluded that given the Cold War and the fear the Soviets might develop the technology to drop a nuclear bomb on the U.S. undetected, it was imperative to keep monitoring UFO sightings. So in 1949, Project Sign actually morphed into Project Grudge that tried to ease American concerns about the escalating number of UFO sightings. Grudge's very existence, though, actually encouraged Americans to believe the UFOs represented a threat to U.S. national security. So that project was quickly wound down. The spike in UFO sightings in July, August, and September of 1952 stoked public anxiety. For instance, over a two-week period in July of 52, air traffic controllers and airline staff at Washington National Airport reported seeing UFOs and strange lights in the airport's vicinity. And, of course, these reports were widely covered in national news media and certainly alarmed U.S. policymakers. As a consequence of these and other sightings in January of 1953, the CIA formed the Robertson Panel, named for its chairman, mathematician, and physicist Howard P. Robertson. The Robertson Panel met for a total of 12 hours, which of course let them investigate every single piece of information. They're such brilliant people, you know. They reviewed 23 of the approximately 2,300 reported UFO sightings the U.S. Air Force had on file, and concluded the UFOs pose no threat to national security. In addition, the panel's report suggested the national security agencies take immediate steps to strip the UFOs of the special status they've been given and the aura of mystery they've unfortunately acquired. So the Air Force issued Regulation 200-2 as a result, which prohibited the release of information about a UFO sighting unless it's been positively identified as a familiar and known object, which, when it later became known to the public, reinforced the perception that the federal government was hiding information about alien visitors to Earth. You know, the very idea of that regulation showed that somebody wasn't thinking ahead. The stripping UFOs of their special status was a tall order given a continued number of well-reported sightings during the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Even as the Robertson panel was meeting for their extensive 12 hours, the U.S. Air Force has undertaken its longest-running investigation of UFOs. That was called Project Blue Book. That began in 52 and continued until January of 1970. This program had two mandates: collect data related to UFO sightings and determine whether UFOs represented a national security threat. In most cases, though, their goal was really to debunk UFO sightings and allay public concern, which yet again reinforced the belief that the federal government was hiding information about UFOs. For example, the program proved the photo taken by a man in Riverside, California in 51 and sold to a newspaper was actually a hoax. A rash of UFO sightings in New England in 1966 resulted in congressional hearings about the Air Force's Project Blue Book's investigation and led to the formation of the Condon Committee, named for its leader, University of Colorado physicist Edward Condon. From the beginning, Condon seemed to have dismissed the possibility of UFOs were extraterrestrial, saying in a public lecture in January of 67 that the study of UFOs was nonsense, and cheekily adding that he was not supposed to reach that conclusion for another year. Meanwhile, that summer, in an August 1966 memo from Assistant Dean of Colorado's graduate program, Robert Lowe, to the university administrators came to light. It promised the Condon Committee would dismiss the possibility of UFOs or extraterrestrial, leading to a public outcry. So when the Condon Committee's final report, which dismissed the possibility that the many UFO sightings over the preceding few decades had any extraterrestrial causes, was released again in 1968, it was lambasted as biased and a whitewash, which is typical of many of the investigative programs that our government has run. In other words, despite decades of effort to minimize the public's perception aliens had visited Earth, the federal government's missteps actually did the opposite, and at the same time eroded many Americans' faith that government officials could be trusted to tell the truth, even as the UFO sightings continued unabated. In short, Project Sign and its successors actually did the opposite of what they intended, inflaming rather than allaying Americans' concern about UFO sightings. Despite consistent assurances from various federal agencies that the federal government is not hiding knowledge of extraterrestrial life, the vast majority of Americans remain unconvinced. Federal government's history of misinforming the public, combined with lots of unanswered questions, has ensured that interest in UFOs remains strong. That interest has been reinforced in recent decades by several successful TV shows such as The X-Files and various movies such as Men in Black to convey the belief that not only have aliens visited Earth, but that the federal government knows this and is lying to the American public about it. The government's recently hinted it'd be more transparent if and when it makes any irrefutable discoveries about extraterrestrial visitation. But that does remain to be seen. There has been a lot of recent release of information and photographs, but we don't know how long that's going to continue. In the meantime, ufologists have continued searching for the truth by talking to witnesses and filing FOIA requests, all in the hope of discovering the truth for a public that wants to believe. The problem is what's true and what's not. Well, I guess you have to ask yourself, does humanity's long history with the paranormal mean that this phenomenon exists? Or does our obsession with blurry photos, hearsay, and circumstantial evidence just mean we want to believe? Well, despite the popularity of aliens and ghosts and monsters and vampires and witches in our culture, the reality is that many, if not most, people are skeptical about them. Cryptozoologists, ufologists, and vampire hunters frequently point to the universality of stories throughout history and across the globe, but skeptics counter that shared myths and legends are not hard evidence. And they call attention to the fact that humans are hardwired to find meaning in random, unconnected events. That phenomena is known as pareidolia. And that while storytelling is an important way that societies create meaning for themselves and their members, it doesn't mean that the story should be taken as facts. In this view, believers desire to have their theories validated, and it makes them susceptible to confirmation bias. For example, Nostradamus' prophecies are highly ambiguous and therefore can be interpreted in a variety of ways. And skeptics maintain that believers see what they want to see in his prophecies. The same is said for all matter of clairvoyancy. The symbolism and predictions are so broad that people are bound to find some truth. Skeptics also ask, how is it that with all the technology at our disposal, you've yet to capture undeniable proof of the existence of the Loch Ness Monster, or the Yeti, or even aliens from outer space? Now, this isn't an unreasonable question, but cryptozoologists are quick to point out that we're constantly discovering new species of plants and animals we didn't know existed. In 2020 alone, UK scientists discovered more than 500 previously unknown species, and the planet still holds so many secrets that believers find it foolish to conclude that lack of evidence proves non-existence. As for UFOs, the Department of Defense has released videos the government can't explain and acknowledge the continued existence of a program dedicated to investigating UFO reports, an undertaking the government has long denied existed. So while we may not have definitive proof of extraterrestrial life, we've gone from secrecy and denial to openness and maybe even hope. That being said, one unfortunate cost of our fascination with the paranormal is that it encourages hoaxers and con artists to take advantage of the desire to believe. These deceptions undermine the good faith efforts of those honestly searching for the truth about the paranormal. The hunt for the truth is often a thankless task, but the men and women who dedicate their lives to it do so out of faith that sooner or later the truth is going to come out. And maybe it will, and then again, maybe it won't. We have to keep in mind that a lot of answers just are not forthcoming. My system has gone haywire here. Well, there was as I mentioned earlier, there was an intelligence bill that was signed in 2020 that said by the summer of 2021, evidence of UFOs was going to be revealed. Former Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe explained that such sightings are talking about objects that frankly engage in actions that are difficult to explain. Now, John Ratcliffe gave an interview and a preview of the classified information to be released to the public regarding unexplained aerial sightings. He explained that such sightings are talking about objects that have been seen by Navy or Air Force pilots or have been picked up by satellite imagery that frankly engage in actions that are difficult to explain. Movements hard to replicate and traveling at speeds that exceed the sound barrier without making a sonic boom. Sensors and satellites across the globe have picked up signals that can't be explained, and many of these phenomena have been kept from the public. He claimed intelligence agencies have quieted the information, hoping to publicize the sightings when there are proper explanations that are accessible and understandable to the public. A more detailed report is going to be released in accordance with the Intelligence Authorization Act of fiscal year 2021 and was passed by the Senate in 2020. That bill demanded that the Director of National Intelligence submit a report within 180 days of the date of the enactment of the bill to the Congressional Intelligence Armed Services Committee on Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, including observed airborne objects that have not yet been identified. Now, of course, anything you submit to the Congressional Intelligence and Armed Service Committees is going to vanish into File 13 if they don't agree with it. The report also will include all data found through geospatial intelligence, signals intelligence, human intelligence, measurement and signals intelligence, classified information held by the Office of Naval Intelligence and Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force and the FBI will be included as well. Well, according to Luis Elizondo, I mentioned earlier, the former head of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, it's a historic moment when you have the U.S. government and multiple agencies in the organization coming forward and saying that the videos are not only real, but they're truly unidentified aerial phenomena. Now, the act to reveal previously classified UFO and extraterrestrial sightings comes after former President Donald Trump's creation of the Space Force as the fifth branch of the U.S. Armed Forces. Responding to Trump's interest in space intelligence, former Israeli space security chief Chaim Eshed explained in an interview that U.S. and Israel have both been dealing with aliens for years. He insisted that Trump is aware of extraterrestrial life and he was on the verge of disclosing its existence. However, Eshed said the Alien Galactic Federation reportedly stopped him from doing so. Then they wanted to prevent mass hysteria since they felt humanity needed to evolve and reach a stage where we will understand what space and spaceships are. And maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. You know, part of the problem is finding definitive evidence. However, there have been 10 findings about aliens from 2020. You know, humans often wonder whether or not we're really alone in the universe. Though that question wasn't answered in 2020, many discoveries seem to increase the prospect of extraterrestrial entities existing. Findings on the closest planet to us in the outer solar system and the far beyond seem to point to the possibility other worlds could host organisms ranging from bacteria to technological beings. You know, the answer to weird signals happening in the universe is never aliens until maybe it is. There's always some ivory tower scientist who comes up with a brilliant idea that pleases only himself. Researchers announced they'd captured a very mysterious beam of energy in the radio part of the electromagnetic spectrum at 980 megahertz. They said it came from the closest star to our own, Proxima Centauri, which is just 4.2 light years away. It hosts one gas giant, one rocky world, 17% larger than Earth. It happens to be in its star's habitable zone. That means liquid water and could exist there. The unexplained signal reportedly shifted slightly while it was being observed in a way that resembled the shift caused by the movements of a planet. Now, researchers were excited, of course, but cautious, explaining they'll need to figure out if more mundane sources, such as a comet, a hydrogen cloud, or even human technology, could be mimicking an alien signal. And it will take time before they know one way or the other if ET is trying to talk to us. Then astrobiologists were all agog with anticipation and skepticism in September of 2020 when news broke about potential evidence of life in the upper clouds of Venus. The announcement pointed to the presence of phosphine, a rare and often poisonous gas that on Earth, at least, is almost always associated with living organisms. With its hellish surface temperature, outlandish pressure, and sulfuric acid clouds, Venus has long played second fiddle to the seemingly more potentially habitable Mars. But a team named both the James Clerk Maxwell Telescope in Hawaii and the Atacama Large Millimeter Submillimeter Array in Chile at Venus and picked up phosphine signature in a Venusian cloud layer with downright Earth-like temperatures and pressures. Terrestrial bacteria are known to thrive in some pretty tough conditions, making the biological explanation a not unreasonable one. The research team done claimed that it has airtight evidence of space bugs, and many in the community aren't quite convinced, but if nothing else, it'll mean more funding in the hunt for life in unlikely places. 2 years ago, scientists spotted a cigar-shaped object hurtling through the solar system. Dubbed Oumuamua, the entity is considered by most to be an interstellar comet flung out from around another star, but close observation showed that it was accelerating as something was propelling it, and scientists still don't know why. Evie Leib, Harvard University astrophysicist, proposed instead of a comet, the interstellar visitor could have been an alien probe designed by pushed by a light sail, a wide millimeter-thin piece of material that accelerates as it pushes, but it's pushed by solar radiation. Other scientists have thrown cold water on that idea, pointing out that hydrogen ice could have melted off the object in a way that was similar to a rocket engine or other propulsion method. But in August, he fired back, writing in a study stating hydrogen ice is very easily heated even in the cold depths of interstellar space and should have sublimated away before it reached our system. The debate continues. You know, a fair number of Earthlings don't care what ambiguous evidence scientists come up with to show aliens are out there. They're convinced we've been visited by technological beings many, many times, pointing to stories about UFOs, alien encounters, pretty much all of which has been debunked by ivory tower scientists. True believers got a boost in April when the U.S. Navy released footage captured by pilots that showed odd wingless aircraft traveling at hypersonic speed, looking for all intents and purposes like bizarre alien machinery. And despite the existence of such videos, people should still be wary, according to freelance journalist Sarah Scholes in her book, They're Already Here, UFO Culture and Why We See Saucers. After deciding to look into the Navy evidence, she was unable to determine if it really showed alien aircraft, but she found a much more human story by speaking to leaders in contemporary UFO culture and discussed how things look to them. Now, it's been my experience that many of the so-called UFO leaders talk just to hear themselves talk. Now, ocean worlds that are classified as those having sufficient amounts of water on or just beneath their surface is surprisingly common in the solar system. Earth is obviously one such place, but Jupiter's moon Europa is thought to host vast seas under its icy shell, and Saturn's moon Enceladus is known to have watery geysers spewing from its exterior. Momentum is in fact building in the astronomy community to send a probe that could land on either satellite sometime in the 2030s and check if any living beings might lurk under their shells. As for ocean worlds beyond our sun, in a study released in June, researchers looked at 53 exoplanets similar in size to Earth and analyzed variables including their size, density, orbit, surface temperatures, mass, and distance from their star. Scientists concluded that of the 53, roughly a quarter, might have the right conditions to be considered ocean worlds, suggesting that such places could be relatively common in the galaxy. You know, most Earthlings require oxygen to survive, but oxygen isn't common in the cosmos, making up about 0.1% of the ordinary mass of the universe. There's far more hydrogen, 92%, and helium, 7%. Many planets, including gas giants like Jupiter and Saturn, are made mostly of these light elements. In May, scientists took E. coli, bacteria found in the guts of a lot of animals, including humans, and ordinary yeast, this fungus used to make bread and beer, and tried to see if they could live in different environments. Now, such microbes are already known to survive without oxygen when placed in a flask filled with either pure hydrogen or pure helium, they managed to grow, although at a slower rate than usual. These findings suggest that when searching for organisms elsewhere in the universe, we might want to consider places that don't look exactly like Earth. You know, when hunting life on other worlds, most scientists stick to what they know, searching for Earth-sized world orbiting sun-like stars. But far more exotic configurations could exist, such as a planet circling around and heated by a black hole. First glance, such a scenario seems absurd, but contrary to popular depiction, black holes don't just suck in everything around them. Gravitationally, stable orbits are possible in the light from the cosmic background radiation, a relic with temperatures at near absolute zero from the early universe that permeates all of space, would get heated as it fell into the black hole. A paper released in March showed this could provide warmth and energy to any organism that happened to evolve in such a strange location. And certainly, it would be considered a strange location. As we hunt for beings beyond our planet, it's important to keep in mind that we might not be the only ones doing so. In October, researchers came up with a catalog of 1,004 nearby stars that could be in a good position to detect life on Earth, if there was any here. If observers are out there searching from planets orbiting these stars, they would be able to see signs of a biosphere in the atmosphere of our pale blue dot. This study, lead author Lisa Kaltenegger, an associate professor of astronomy at Cornell and director of the university's Carl Sagan Institute, said in a statement, using observational tools similar to the transit timing methods that human astronomers use to study exoplanets, such alien onlookers could hunt for oxygen and water in our atmosphere and maybe conclude that Earth is a good home for organisms. And certainly, that may well be what has happened. You know, where there's life, there's also death. And while we like to imagine our galaxy is teeming with technological beings capable of contacting us, the flip side is recognizing all cultures rise and fall. meaning that plenty of cosmic societies are likely to have bitten the dust long ago. A model released in December put some numbers to these truths, taking into account such things as the prevalence of sun-like stars hosting Earth-like planets, the frequency of deadly radiation-blasting supernovas, the time necessary for intelligent life to evolve if conditions are right, and the possible tendency of two bearing beings to destroy themselves. The analysis found that the highest probability of life emerging in the Milky Way happened to be about 5.5 billion years ago, before our planet even formed, suggesting humanity is a relative latecomer to the galaxy and that plenty of our potential otherworldly partners are no longer around to talk to us. You know, the human brain has plenty of constraints. We're misled by cognitive biases, optical illusions, inattentional blindness to things we don't expect to see. One question's always dogged research into alien cultures as to whether or not we could recognize life that's different from what we encounter here on Earth. Scholars have long urged us to expect the unexpected, trying not to let theory too heavily influence what we count as significant. Life on other planets might not leave the same biological signatures as terrestrial organisms, making them difficult to spot from our vantage point. In his Claire Webb, an anthropology and history of science student, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology told Life Science in January, we have to train ourselves to make the familiar strange. Looking at ourselves through an alien lens in an effort to constantly re-examine our own assumptions, that way we might be able to better understand ourselves through the eyes of another and perhaps meet creatures of other worlds on their own terms other than ours. Well, a lot of these scientists seem to believe that they are the end-all be-all. And that may not be true. You know, the Pentagon has officially released three short videos showing an unidentified aerial phenomenon previously been released by a private company. Videos show what appear to be unidentified flying objects rapidly moving while recorded by infrared cameras. Two of the videos contain service members reacting in awe to how quickly the objects are moving. One voice speculates it could be a drone. Well, the Navy previously acknowledged the veracity of the videos in September of 2020, and they're officially releasing them in order to clear up any misconceptions by the public on whether or not the footage had been circulating was real or whether or not there's more to the videos. That's according to a Pentagon spokesman. After a thorough review, the department's determined that the authorized release of these unclassified videos does not reveal any sensitive capabilities or systems. It does not impinge on any subsequent investigations of military airspace incursions by unidentified aerial phenomena. The Navy now has formal guidelines for how its pilots can report when they believe they've seen possible UFOs. Navy videos were first released between December 2017 and March 2018 by to the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, a company co-founded by former Blink 182 musician Tom DeLonge, who says it studies information about unidentified aerial phenomena. 2017, one of the pilots who saw one unidentified objects in 2004 told CNN it could move in ways he couldn't explain. He said, as I got close to it, it rapidly accelerated to the south and disappeared in less than 2 seconds. This was extremely abrupt, like a ping pong ball bouncing off a wall. It would hit and go the other way. Pentagon has previously studied recordings of aerial encounters with unknown objects as part of the since-shuttered classified program that was launched at the behest of former Senator Harry, Don't You Know I'm Wonderful, Reed in Nevada. The program was launched in 2007, ended in 2012, according to the Pentagon. That was because they assessed that there were higher priorities that needed funding. I think there may have been another reason beyond that, but we won't go into that. Well, we've come to the end of today's show. We've run out of time. So until tomorrow at the same time, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.